it's coming.
Rut for us.
Hemp. Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Del Cos.
Hey! What's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears!
This is the Chevy Hemp and OB Show with Cos.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
That's the first time this year that we've gotten to start a little bit early, which unfortunately is not a good thing, as the Bears are now 5-9 as they lose to the Minnesota Vikings 38-17. This is Hamp OB with Cos, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. My name is Mark Carman.
It's coming right for us,
and that is welcome in to what should be an interesting 2.5 hours. Blackhawks are coming up at 5:30, so we are truncated today. Start of the show sponsored by GenosEast.com, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. OB, I'll start with you. Did they lay down today?
I'm not so sure that they laid down, but the people that have been playing bad all year continue to play bad. They just really do. And again, I don't understand Fox's theory. I'm not attacking going downfield, folks. All you have to do is look at the highlights at the end of the week on Sunday night or Monday night and just look. All you see are bombs being thrown, offenses that are winning teams attacking down the field. We had three games to go here, obviously two now. And again, we just don't do it. I don't understand it. And I don't want to hear that we don't have enough speed, we don't have enough this, we don't have enough that. My God, it's the United States of America. You mean to tell me we can't find 5-6 wideouts to play football in the National Football League? It's a joke. There's something wrong here, guys.
Teddy Bridgewater for the Minnesota Vikings, OB, he had three incompletions all day.
Oh, they're taking down the Fran Tarkington plaques, and right now I'm getting the Bridgewater plaques to go up. He was hey, you talk about going out and executing. That's what this kid did. At the start of the fourth quarter, he had a quarterback rating of 157.7. That's not bad. And he winds up with four touchdown passes, one touchdown run, where the once again malaprop on cleats, Shea McClellan, who had what we call a field blitz. You decide how you're going to pressure the passer but keep him in the pocket. Of course, Moron goes way around the left side, opening up the middle like the Red Sea, and Teddy Bridgewater runs for a touchdown. I got to tell you, OB, I am exactly with you. At least the defense, meaning Vic Fangio, was trying to do something, be proactive on third down. He blitzed today probably 60% of the time on third down, trying to make something happen. But I got to tell you, this offense, it's a bucket of crap. And at some point, we've got to call it what it is. Now, I know that once again, Knowshon goes down with a hamstring injury, you know, the mysterious hamstring injury. But most of the second half, this is what Jay Cutler had to throw to. He had Josh Bellamy, Eddie Royal, who can't run anymore. We saw that when they threw the streak, and he couldn't separate. The kid came with the moniker of being, you know, kind of scary fast. The guy can't run anymore.
You know what, Dan?
And the other one was Mariani. Mariani is Cos with the better leg. And I'm just saying, yeah, we're limited, but you know what? I hate the fact that we don't even try.
I think
we don't even try
to
get something big down the field.
I think I just got insulted, Ed.
You know, let me tell you something. This goes back, and there's been some horrible Bear teams, and there's been a few great ones. I played with Dick Butkus, and this is back in the day when the Bears' defense, I mean, our offense, they try to get a first down, let alone score a point, and we would go at it tooth and nail. Now, there's a thing called special teams, okay? Dick Butkus, Doug Buffone, Ed Obradovich, I can't tell you, there's a couple other guys, Richie Pettibone. We're on the special teams. I was number two on a kickoff, punt return, kickoff return, number one, in the wedge or out in the flank. And we're out there playing football, fighting for our lives on defense. And we about had it. So Butkus, after one game, went up, and coach will still remain nameless, who was ahead of special teams, and walked up to him, gentlemen, and to our listeners, and Dick says, "What are we doing on the special teams?" He said, "You got all these people that sit on the bench. They don't even put their toe on the football field. Why aren't they out there on special teams?" You know what his answer was, folks? "We can't trust them." You hear what I said? We can't trust them. If you can't trust them, Dick said, "What the hell are they doing on this team?" Which brings me to this point, Dan. We have receivers. Guys get hurt and go down. So do a lot of other people. You mean to tell me somewhere in the United States of America we can't find receivers that can get, that has some speed, get separation? We can't find in the United States of America an offensive tackle who can play half bad and help get a back, help them chip block, or the tight end chip block? Long should be back at right guard.
Yeah.
Okay?
The experiment's
put
over.
Lino over at right tackle. Bring Bushrod back, who was a free agent, and we paid millions to get him here. Stick him. He's healthy. Put him back at left tackle. Move Leno over the right tackle. Move Kyle Long back at right guard where you got him and Slauson, where you can make something happen on offense. It's enough already. My God, Kyle Long is struggling out there. He's not a tackle. I don't care if it's this year, next year, or the year after that. It's not going to happen. He's a great tackle. And with him and Slauson, they'd be the best guards in the National Football League, and we would be a better offensive line if they'd move Leno over and bring Bushrod in and see what the hell we can do instead of having a jailbreak come at us every week.
Listen, though, when you cut through everything, here's what it always comes down to. And, you know, look, it's everybody's frustrated watching this mess. How can it be that every week the Bears come out flat and are always 14, 10 points behind and look like they've never played football before?
The last 3 weeks they've come out flat.
Who's responsible for that, though, Ed?
Fox.
I mean, Dan, you know what I'm saying? It starts right there. And everything else.
You're exactly right.
You know, look, I get it. You have a middle linebacker that has no business playing in the National Football League. You have guys on the field right now that shouldn't play, and that's right. Then replace them. Find somebody else that maybe can separate, or at least go down trying to find those people.
For receivers.
But it still starts with the leader not getting his team ready.
We all know you got to have barn burners, okay, that can go down stretch. We understand that. It's a lot of barn burners that can't catch
either. Well, we understand
but
we don't get that, Ed.
I know.
We don't have any.
The other thing about it is you take a possession receivers. Our possession receivers
can't separate.
Exactly, Glenn. Folks, they can't separate. That's it.
Let's get into news, and then we'll get to your calls, and we'll get into everything that happened today. It is Hamp and OB with Kaz, and it's sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz. We are brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hope your Sunday is going better than it went for the Bears today. 38-17 as the Bears fall to 5-9. Let me give you guys one stat here, and there's a million stats from today, but Teddy Bridgewater came in today. He had 4 touchdown passes today. Anybody want to garner a guess as to how many he had coming into the game today?
Wow, I would think maybe, I don't know, the way you're talking, maybe 10?
Yeah, 9.
9?
9, Hamp.
Obviously, he the last game that he played against Arizona, but, you know, I don't really give a rat's about Vikings. But I'll tell you this, the Vikings were all we let them be today. You know, they go into Arizona, Bridgewater's got him driving to tie the game at the end, he gets strip sacked to end the game. Oh, well, personally, I'm thinking let's build on that. Let's force him into mistakes and take a chance. And for a few moments during this course of the game, Vic Fangio was blitzing. He was trying to create that same type of decision-making acceleration that you want on young quarterbacks. Make them say, okay, where do I go with the ball? And hopefully they'll make a mistake or get it out too quick to make a completion. But all that being said, we let him play a game of a lifetime. The last time the Bears gave up four touchdown passes and a touchdown run to a quarterback with
a
Minnesota Viking helmet on. When do you think that was, OB?
It had to be Fran Tarkenton.
1961. Over 50 years ago, he had a game for the ages because we sat there and let him shine.
So, gentlemen, with two games to go now, and thank God we'll be here for two more weeks to be together. What can you point to on this roster that you have going forward? What is the base in your mind going into 2016?
The base is you need talent. I mean, it's right in front of you.
I would say,
go ahead. Let me just finish here, Glenn. You know, and then you can jump in. But I want to go back to the game Thanksgiving Day night in Green Bay. It's a tough place to win no matter what. And in a rainstorm, they go up there, and everybody, magnificent. Great calls by the offense, defense. The guys played their hearts out against a pretty good team and arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League in Rodgers. And you could see that we were improving because we're in all these games going late in at a fourth quarter, hoping and praying that Cutler can take us down, and most of the time he did. What I don't understand, and I don't, is how can you come home to at your own home field and play two lousy football teams, and they come in here and take it from you? And to see all of a sudden the offense like wandering around. We're looking back at years ago with Jay Cutler looking at the sidelines. Folks, if you see it again, he's looking at the sideline, rolling his fingers. Come on, give me the play. We're supposedly running no huddle offense, and we're standing out there. Lucky we get the playoff in time. Glenn, Dan, I don't know what has happened the last three games, but there has been a definite change in attitude and the way they're calling these games offensively and defensively. And quite frankly, I don't get it, because the way they stand going into these last games, what the hell do you have to lose? Go after people.
You know what? The one thing I really believe, and Kaz, just bear with me here for a second. You know, typically, a team will play on Sunday in a certain fashion that is best illustrated by the tackling of the defense. Okay, you may get blocked here, but the way you tackle, well, guess what? We tackled like we had never put on shoulder pads.
We throw blocks.
It was beyond embarrassing. It was abysmal. It was chronic bad. And the other part of it is your offensive line, they are the gatekeepers. They're the ones that basically set the tempo for the offense. And guess what our offensive line did today? They got our quarterback mauled on how many occasions, let alone giving up five sacks. We never really were able to control the line of scrimmage until late in the game, when it was almost like we're driving for a meaningless touchdown.
Danny,
now, I just got to say, you know, that has to go back, like Kaz and I have and you have been asserting for the last 3 weeks. What happened? Is it a dog whistle?
Something.
Is it subliminal? Did the coaches say, you know what, maybe we're just going to lay down and worry about the draft pick? They can't come out and say it. But by God, the way they're coaching, it's like they're trying to lay down for a draft pick. And that, in my mind, is inexcusable, and it's pathetic.
Here's what I would say, though. Look, Adam Gase, all of a sudden in the last 3 weeks after that great victory up in Lambeau, there was increased talk about him being the head coach in Detroit.
You won't have to worry about that anymore.
But what happened, Ed, it's almost like he has gone into this mode, protection mode, where he doesn't want to look bad, and he's making these safe calls that give you no chance to win. But to the original question, Mark said, how do you build off of next year? I would tell you that Willie Young, I don't like the fisherman routine, but he is a guy you could build around in that 3-4. He comes
off,
and Houston on the other side, those two are two pillars that you could build off of. I like the young kid, as bad as he's been starting the nose tackle, the kid from Florida State,
Goldman.
He's come a long way, and he's got some good quickness laterally. So there's another guy, but there's not much beyond that. I mean, maybe Amos, too, who's played well. You got to completely re-gut the inside linebackers.
Here's what we have to do, and we better not throw away these last two games and, like, coach, and give this up, whatever. I propose, and I truly believe this. I've been on some horrible teams. I've been on a world championship team. I'm going to tell you, move Kyle Long back to right guard. Bushrod, again, I've said it, and I'll repeat it again. We paid millions to get him here, a free agent from New Orleans. He's healthy. Let him come back to left tackle. If not, put him over to right tackle. Or put Leno over at right tackle. Put Kyle Long back at right guard so you got Slauson. So we have something, some continuity. And let's see if that will work. We got two games. Let's not blow two games at the end of the season and then worry about training camp, worried about switching somebody then or doing it now. It's right in front of you. We need help at the offensive line, and that's a way, hopefully, to solve it. And if not, give it a chance. Try it. What the hell do you have to lose?
You want to jump in with us, feel free. And who would you like to see back, and who would you like to be see gone, if that makes any sense? Say bye-bye. There you go.
Inside backers for sure.
Yeah. This week, Chicago's Best is shining a light on five inspiring stories of giving back this holiday season. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. We're brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 5:30 on 720 WGN. Minnesota 38, the Bears 17, 5-9, now 4-3 away from Soldier Field. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. Crazy game going on right now with Carolina and the Giants. It was 35-7, Carolina in the with the lead.
Cruising. Cruising along, and then just started fumbling the ball.
Trying to get to 14-0, too, and now it's 35 apiece, 140 to go. We'll keep you up to date on that one. The Mueller Dealership's game-changing moment brought to you by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Hamp, why don't you take this one, the game-changing moment?
Well, this is pretty easy, and I think you guys agree. It was a brilliant move to come out, an onside kick, and Robbie Gould made a really good move at the ball, and I think it was Sherrick McManus that recovered it. Now, we are in perfect field position once again, OB, after time after time after time, and we're actually in a position to get back in this game. And on the third play, Kyle Long playing out of position apparently now at right tackle because he could not block the defensive end, was run by, and Jay Cutler was strip-sacked for a fumble, which basically, for all intents and purposes, ended the game because they went on a 9-play touchdown drive that basically took us completely out of it.
That was the game-changer, and I'm a little add-up on the Mueller game-changing thing here, guys. We started the game out on a 50-yard line.
Sure did.
Okay, and third down, folks. On third down of that opening drive, we started out on a 50. We were third and 25 yards to go. For a first down.
Well, you're leaving out the first to play. They gained 20 yards in Grasso.
36 yards.
I'll repeat it again. We started on a 50-yard line, third down. It was third and 25. And, I'm just absolutely mystified of what has gone on here. We open up the second play of that drive. I forget what time it was in the game, but I was watching Shea McClellan. And it was on the second play, I think it was maybe the next series. He's on defense. He doesn't come up. He gets blocked. The guy turns him. The offensive guard turns him. And as you watch the back fly by, he's not done with him yet. He turns him, and he buries him. He drives him into the ground. When you're a middle linebacker, whether it's in a 3-4 or 4-3, that runs, you know your keys, you come flying up. Just look at Coakley, okay, from Carolina. Look at Matthews, Green Bay. Any good linebackers, they come up and they force the play. They fill the gap and they do it. This guy doesn't, and I have no idea. Excuse
me. OB, he plays in such a passive manner.
Oh, Danny,
it wouldn't be acceptable in high school. For them to keep running him out week after week, game after game, and us act like with a straight face, we got a chance playing with only 10 on defense?
It's mind-boggling to me to sit there. As a matter of fact, you know, when you go back in, whether it's they go back in tomorrow or Tuesday, whatever day it is, and they view the films, I'm going to tell you something. When you play bad, I mean, and you're watching them films with your teammates and your coaches, does anybody say anything to this guy?
Apparently not. I mean, it must be a whole new culture where everybody's politically correct and they can't say anything like, oh, you got body slammed again. Hey, McClellan, look at yourself on film. It's embarrassing the entire football team. Can't you fake an injury and find a way to get out of the, off the field? If the coaches won't take you off, at least do us a favor and take yourself out.
You know, the thing that goes in the face of that, of what we say here, is Fangio, the defensive coordinator, you know, one of the better ones, so to speak, and he calls Shea McClellan a stud and a great signal caller. Okay, that's all I'm going
to
say.
Oh, I know. I mean, in this world of, you know, lying to your face, I mean, this is about as bad as it gets.
312-981-7200. John Tima was very good today. That was one of the positive spots from today.
I don't know if you guys remember back in August, I was saying this guy, he made play after play after play in the preseason game. I remember over in Cleveland. Okay, it's Cleveland. But guess what? Cleveland beat the 49ers, and the 49ers drove McClellan into the dirt 30 plays during the course of that game. I just got to tell you, what does it take for the truth to be shown and become self-evident?
Danny, it's unbelievable. And they sit the other inside linebacker down today, and he put Timu in,
yeah,
and he comes in, Glenn, and he's firing
filling,
up. He's making tackles.
Plays,
and,
right?
And who do they sit? They sit the other guy and leave McClellan in there. Folks, we're not making this up. And a few people, if you film the game or whatever, you know, at this time,
just watch him.
Sometimes things are what they are. My Lord.
Well, what you don't want to do is watch the stats, because if you look at the stats today, I mean, right now, I don't know what it'll be tomorrow when it's quote unquote official, but Shea had 8 tackles today.
Well, of course he did.
Of course he did.
He
12 yards down the field, 5 yards down the field, 7 yards.
Yeah, big deal.
Okay.
They're meaningless.
I'm not defending the guy. I'm just pointing out that if you look at this, wow, Shea, another great day with 8 tackles. He was second on the team behind John Timo.
And let me say, when Fangio said he's a great signal caller,
how hard is that?
I want to say this again. If you're in a 3-4 or 4-3, if it's a 4-3, all four linebackers, believe me, are taught to call signals. Okay? And then there's a strong side safety. He would be the fifth in a 4-3. In a 3-4. If it's a 4-3, all three linebackers, and then the strong side safety is able to call. So if Shea McClellan's not there, you mean to tell me we're lost because he's such a great signal caller? They're all prepared from week to week, folks. Believe me on this one. The three linebackers or four linebackers and a strong safety can call signals.
Carolina just kicked a
game-winning
50-some-odd yard field goal, 38-35. They are 14-0 as we keep you up to date with what's going on around the NFL. Bears lost to the Vikings, if you're just joining us, 38-17. Let's get Bill in Dundee on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the air, my friend.
Hi, I heard a stunner this morning. Is this the fifth year in a row, I lose track, that the Bears have not made the playoffs?
Well, it's more than that. Hang on.
At least five, yeah. I think so.
In a major market like this. But here's my question. I don't claim to know a lot about football. I enjoy watching it. But it seems to me that year in, year out, you, I know, Hamp, have been very supportive, really, of Cutler this year. He just doesn't seem to me to be the guy. You see all Rodgers, all these other guys come out, and they're punching the team, and they're boom, 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 let's go. and he just seems so passive regardless of the statistics. He's not the leader we need, but I know you think he's done a good job this year, and so do you, OB. So I'll hang up, and I'd like to listen to your comments about him. Is he the guy who's going to get us from here to where we should be?
Okay, well, okay, appreciate it. You know, guys, all I can tell you is it's not – you got to have a quarterback, but it's not a one-man game. There's a guy named Alex Smith with the Kansas City Chiefs that now has won 8 straight. They won today. And Alex Smith is a garden-variety quarterback that probably is ranked about the 27th quarterback in the NFL. But you know what? He's getting an awful lot of help from a lot of different facets of the team. But I got to tell you, first and foremost, and you know, let's talk about Alshon. I don't know what the exact number of plays he has played this year, how much he has contributed. I know he's been hurt a huge portion of the season. I know that he has not been a factor in a lot of these games when we need him to be a factor. And once again today, a soft tissue injury where it precluded him from trying to help us in the second half. So, you know, you can say all you want about quarterback, and Jay doesn't seem to be the guy. Well, there's only really about 4 guys right now that are, you know, MVP quality quarterbacks, and Jay would be in the next group. And if you can tell me where we can find somebody that's in that first group that we could sign tonight, call us on the bat line.
Hey, they've won 5 games because of Jay Cutler.
Hey,
go ahead, Ed.
Before we go to break, I want to tell you where we do lead the league in. We lead the National Football League in mystery injuries. We are number 1, folks. The mysterious injury.
We're going to talk about another mysterious injury coming back here and how it might have impacted the team, which happened right around the Thanksgiving win.
Would his initials be Martellus Bennett?
Those aren't quite initials, OB.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
that's exactly
initials.
Initials, OB.
Are
I like it.
Martellus Bennett.
I'm learning. My bad. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com. Serving our area for 37 years nationwide is on your side, jeffvuk.com. 312-981-7200. And yes, by the way, our caller was 5 years ago. It just seems longer that the Bears were last in the playoffs back in 2010 when they lost in the NFC title game to the Green Bay Packers.
And by the way, the year before that, they had a bunch of meaningless games that they went out and started winning. And it kind of got them on a tear that put them into, you know, the championship game the next year.
Well,
not this year.
No. 3 losses in a row now at 5-9 and with 2 games to go at Tampa next week and then home with the Lions. We'll get you news and we'll get to you. 312-981-7200. Hampton will be with Kaz with you till 5:30, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
2 games left at Tampa and then home with the Lions, 38-17. Bears have lost 3 in a row as they fall today. This is the most convincing loss they've had since you go back to week 3 when they got crushed by Seattle with Jimmy Clausen at quarterback, who is now playing for Mark Trestman in Baltimore, in case anybody was wondering. Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. OB, who brought it?
Willie Young, number 97. Bears defensive end or outside linebacker, whatever you want to call him. And I tell you what, to me, so far, with 2 games ago this season, offensively, if you're supposed to pick a most valuable, got to be Cutler. Defensively, it's got to be Willie Young. He's brought it. He's fought through a couple of nicks here and there. But I'll tell you what, he's been playing absolutely wonderful football. He's as quick as a cat. He's got strong. He's got great leverage, and he's smart. What I'd like to see him doing, if there's any listeners out there that would think about this, or you guys here and here, I'm going to tell you what I would do, maybe a radical thing to do. I'd put him in at middle linebacker the last 2 games. He's got the speed. He's got the quickness, the height. This guy can flat out play football, and I'd love to see him, you know, put him over there. Let's see what he can do.
Our best pass rusher, take him away. That's like putting Kyle at tackle.
Dan,
yeah,
but,
that'd be
but wait a second.
Hold it.
The reason why I said you got to look at the position that we're in. We don't know. You're not going to go and draft, you know, 12 new starters next year. That's not going to happen. So I think experiment a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And he is our best pass rusher. Yes, he is. There's make no mistake about it. But McPhee will be coming back next year. Houston will be back. Two guys that could come from the edge pretty good. I think this kid, just my own personal opinion, folks, I just think as quick and as smart as he is, I like to see him at middle linebacker, see what the hell he can
do. If you can get Pee Wee Herman and put him instead of McClellan, I'm all for it.
Because Pee Wee Herman is a little tougher. His place, it He's would got be a little McClellan. More edge to him. Here's what I'd say, though. Timo is a kid that the reason he wasn't on the roster for a bit was he had some visa problems because he's from New Zealand. So, you know, this is a kid that they've been high on throughout the whole year. They finally got a chance to settle that all up, get it squared away. And he had he was the best next to Young. He was the best defensive player, had three downhill tackles that were behind the line of scrimmage on Peterson early in the game. Now, we jumped off sides all three times, so he didn't get credit for it. Had nine total tackles, led the team in tackles. Move he and Anderson on the inside, Ed, and let's see what we get with those two.
Yep.
At least they both would play downhill.
Yep. You know, it's almost a misnomer if you think about it, guys. Linebacker. This kid, Timu, and the really good inside linebackers, they play line fronters. They actually attack the line, and they're in the gaps in a proactive manner, meeting the blocker, whether it's a fullback, a wham blocker, a guard, whatever. McClellan is one of those linebackers. He's one that's back, and now the running back's running by him 12 yards deep, and he jumps on the pile, and everybody thinks he's a player.
That, Dan, that's one of the mysteries this year. If we want to have a mystery column, that would be the mystery of the Chicago Bears this year. What is that kid doing playing for the Bears, and what is he doing in the National Football League? You know what? They brought him in there, drafted him number one. Nobody else had him. They gave him the job at starting left defensive end. That didn't work out. They gave him the job at starting linebacker. That didn't work out. And he's now on the inside on a 3-4 defense. And how is it working for you, Fangio?
John Timo, by the way, a rookie originally with the Redskins. I mean, this guy's out of Washington. He's 23 years old. Could be a big-time talent.
He's showing more today than some of these guys have all year.
You never know. All right, I want to talk to you guys about how they guard crossing routes, which has been a problem all season long. But let's get some calls in here. 312-981-7200. You want to join in. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Scott in Palatine's been waiting patiently now on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, guys. Love the passion, but there's two teams in town that have showed you how you win championships or get close to winning championships. And the Bears need to follow the pattern the Blackhawks and Cubs did. And they need to blow it up, trade every vet you can, amass massive draft choices. Best thing they could do is go lose the next two games and go 0-16 next year, get the first pick, and start refilling the cupboard because there's not enough talent there to win.
Well, the problem with that is in football you can't do it
Thank you, Scott.
Like baseball. But, you know, the Blackhawks have just consistently, they don't miss on their number one. So, obviously, you're right, Scott. That's how you do it. But more importantly than that, in football, you can bring in veterans, Dan. You can create, because you have a salary cap, you can create a team that should be able to compete. There was a point in the season, and that's why we got so frustrated with John Fox, with his decision-making on game day. If he just coaches and plays odds, in other words, you know, you play the percentages, we'd have three wins before we even look at this last three-game lose streak, Ed. And now it's a whole different dynamic, and your team is confident in playing. What I'm seeing is each and every week they're losing more and more confidence. Something happened, and I still go back to the Bennett Dill, Hamp, when they go up to Green Bay and they buzz Green Bay, and it's a happy night for everybody on Thanksgiving. And then they come back, they talk about Bennett. He didn't even watch the game. Nobody's heard anything about him, and this team has played horrifically, and they look like a team that has lost focus and maybe a little belief in the head coach a little. So something went amiss with Bennett and this whole group, and the locker room's different.
Okay.
This team is
now
different.
I promise you there is, you know, smoke, there's fire kind of thing. There is a lot to that situation that the Bears tried to tamp down and downplay it. I do know this, that a lot of folks on the team, and again, remember, he was signed by the prior general manager, Phil Emery. This coaching staff did not like not only the way he, you know, in a cavalier manner, cavorted around and missed a lot of the OTAs. He did this, he did that. He didn't really bust it, you know, in practice. He didn't really want to stay out late and do a lot of drills with the quarterback or do, you know, the sideline drills or catching and all that. So it was pretty obvious to me that early in the season there was a disconnect. Now, it came to a head during the practice on Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. And for a lot of folks that don't know, anytime you go into red zone drills, there's a certain, like, what, 12, 15 plays. These are the plays we are expecting to utilize when we get down in the red zone. Well, they were featuring Zach Miller, the other tight end. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, okay, if Martellus Bennett is who he thinks he is, you know, an A player, oh, they'll make sure they cover him with some of their best coverage guys like Clay Matthews or whoever, or Clinton Dix, their good safety. Well, it makes only sense that the secondary guy, those are the ones we're going to be really looking at and featuring because we feel like we got a better matchup. Well, during the drill when they were doing this, he blows up, makes a big scene about not being featured as the first option. Well, in no uncertain terms, he was told, you know, thanks, we've seen enough from you, you know, zip it, and we don't care about what you have to say. This is about the team. Well, he didn't. He basically said, well, and again, this is all, you know, subjective. He had some injuries with the rib. Okay, the rib, oh, apparently it started hurting because then he was told, you're not making the trip to Green Bay. And then he was told that upon, you know, when they got back, the media asked him, what did you think? This was an amazing win. You weren't even a part of it. And he, in a, you know, nonsensical way, said, oh, I didn't even watch it. So I think the bad blood is done and it's over and it's irreparable. But if this team, if these players are going to use a situation like that where a selfish player was trying to make more out of himself,
right,
and put himself before the team, and they're utilizing that and saying, oh, well, we're not really going to bust it because we saw what you did to Martellus, then we got a lot more problems than
and
you
that's
thought.
I'm not saying that that's what they're doing. I just think that something, it has gone awry since that whole thing blew up, and I'm not sure why.
312-98.
Do you agree with that observation?
Well, it's obvious to me that we have not, A, been prepared, B, engaged on both sides of the ball with a winning spirit and attitude. These are, you know, these are winnable games. If we get after it, we hadn't got after it.
Well, Dan, what you're saying is there could be a lot to that. There really could be a lot to it because I'm going to tell you something. After that Green Bay game, I'm going to tell you something. Everything went out the window here. I don't know what's happened here with this football team. Coaches, again, timing. We have three timeouts left. You know, you got to score points. We're a 5-8 team, and we don't even utilize the timeouts to go down the field to score, hopefully, before the first half.
Or take a shot to do it, right?
Yeah, people. I mean, this is.
We don't even act like we're interested in doing it.
Yeah, this is something that is mind-boggling to me. You only have 60 minutes and 16 games to win. You got the greatest fans in the world paying tons of money to go there to listen to you and watch you and see you. And things like this are happening. We're just pointing these things out. Why? Because they're happening. That's why.
312-981-7200. Do have to step away for a quick timeout. Right back to you. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, 720 WGN.
I don't think anything is different. I just think that other teams want it more than we want it. And that's the end of the story. I mean, when you want something, you go take it. And right now, nobody ain't really trying to take it. Everybody just trying to fill it out. And me and everybody else just got to look ourselves in the mirror and point at ourselves. We can't point at each other and say what could we do better. to help our team win. That's what it's all about.
That was Pernell McPhee.
And what did he say, Mark?
He just said that you want something, you got to go take it. We're trying to feel it out. It's exactly what you guys are saying. It's specifically with Shea McClellan.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
One thing about Pernell McPhee, and it'd be nice to have him on the field a little bit more, but his comments all season long have been pretty spot on.
Well, he played in Baltimore on a defense that forever has had to elevate its game to keep the entire team at a high level. So he understands that there's another gear and another level. And Dan, hey, look, you're one of the only guys I know in this room that, and Ed, you actually played on a championship team that had great defense. But Dan, you had a defense where you guys played at a level that very few people even understand. And so it does matter to have a guy like that because he could kind of show you how to.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd be nice for him to be healthy enough to go out there and demonstrate it on a consistent basis.
Well, here, guys. One of the most important stats, the third down one, is that's the most important stat in football, okay? And we were 5 of 12 for 42%. Now, in a passing game, which this is a passing league, okay, 10.5 yards for Bridgewater. Folks, averaging 10.5 yards is like going to the moon, believe me. Our average, 4.7. That's 180 going the other way. Okay, and what I thought that they would do coming out this game in Minnesota, having what we've done the last couple games, I thought we would really go after them. What do you have to lose? You just now. There's other people to get aggressive. Let's go down. Throw caution to the wind. Okay, defensively, Fangio brought it on third down. Okay, somebody's getting a message there. But I'll tell you what, when you have and this is a passing league, and you got 4.7 yard average. That is god awful. 10.5, unbelievably great.
Bridgewater on the year, by the way, is at 7.1, so over 3 yards better today. Going to get the calls in a second here. The defensive star.
I wonder why.
There you go. The defensive star of the game, fittingly, is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. We've propped John Timu. We've propped Willie Young. Anybody else you want to give some love to?
No, Timu was a kid, 9 total tackles. He had 8 solos, 1 tackle for loss. And in the first quarter, first half, he had 3 tackles for loss on Adrian Peterson, the best running back in the National Football League. And they were all downhill penetrations and blowing him up in the backfield. We unfortunately jumped off sides all 3 times, but he himself was the MVP.
When Reynolds, when he came in middle, you know, he blew it up a couple of times coming up. But this kid, I watched him the whole game, and he was constantly on running plays, coming up. He's going, you know, somebody's got containment, force and fill. Kid was doing his job. He wasn't sitting back there 5-7 yards behind the D-line and praying nobody blocks or the ball doesn't come his way. He blew up. He came right up to the line. I watched him. I was very impressed by him.
Let's go to the calls. And Pernell McPhee was also talking about some bad tackling. We'll maybe hit that as well. A little bit more from Pernell in a second. But first, Heather in Dyer, Indiana, has been waiting since yesterday, so let's get her on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi, guys. As much as I agree that there are players not making the plays and that there is an offensive line issue, I have a problem with play calling. I don't think that they're playing to win. They're playing not to lose. That's a big difference. I don't think they're aggressive enough. You go back to the overtime loss to the Lions. Our possession, all we did was run it 3 times. Nothing going. Let Jay Cutler throw the ball. That's what you're paying him for. Let him do his job.
Heather, guess what? So far, you are the caller of the year.
Of the century, maybe. I mean, it's great insight.
Heather, great observation, young lady. And that caller of the year, guys.
She's, hey, you know what? Let me just say this. Adam Gase, as an offensive coordinator, has not graded out very well in my book. Yes, we have to give him props for the improvement of Jay Cutler. But that screen where Cutler dumped it off for the interception to a defensive lineman. Those are the plays you play, you call when you're scared to death. And the announcer said that Adam Gase says traditionally his toughest opponent as a defensive coordinator to call plays against was Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, who also is a coordinator. I got to tell you, it's almost like we wanted to curl up in a ball at the beginning of the game, and we never did anything to get out of that ball.
312-981-7200. Yes, OB?
No, I was just going to agree with Dan. I mean, I don't know. I just keep going through my mind what is going on with this coaching staff. And I know we have good position coaches, and our offensive defensive coordinator are certainly qualified. I just don't get it.
They're not creative enough to make the changes in the offensive play calling to make things happen.
Dan,
we got to make things happen.
When is the last time, and our listeners out there, that you saw the Bears with crossing ends? When is the last time you seen a deep post pattern? When is the last time you saw an in-and-out corner pass? When is the last time you saw a fly pattern? Especially the crossing ends. Just watch the other teams, and that'll tell you the whole story.
And this was against the defense of the Vikings that was playing with that. It's three best players, a lineman, a linebacker, and a safety.
You know, when you talk about it, if it's deep crossing patterns are short, when's the last time? Anybody tell me when you saw us run that play. I don't even think we ran it one time this year.
Get it to John Fox along the coaching side coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Also hear from you, 312-981-7200.
I'd rather hear from the callers than listen to him.
All right, well, we got plenty for you, OB, coming back here. Craving Gino's East, legendary deep dish pizza, handmade with their famous buttery flaky crust, loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with a flavorful sauce. Bring the family to Gino's East, 10 locations in Chicagoland. They're closer than you think. Try the favorites like the Meaty Legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. And if you can't make it to them, Gino's East will come to you, order pizza delivery to your home, or ship this iconic Windy City legend nationwide. For delivery zones and info, visit ginoseast.com. Get you into news, back to you, and, coaching, talent, how do you move forward into 2016? All that coming straight ahead, 720 WGN.
Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Lovie Smith doesn't know what he's got coming next week when the Bears come rolling into Tampa. Huh?
Yes. Well, let me tell you what he does have coming for certain. Here's one of the big issues on why the Bears, especially the last 2 weeks, have looked so bad. On the first two possessions of the last two games offensively, they've gone three and out with offensive linemen creating horrific penalties on big plays. And then defensively, they've given up on the first possession of every game a 15-play, 93-yard drive for a touchdown 2 weeks ago. And this week, 97-yard drive and 13 plays. Actually, 93 this week, 97 last week. That's why this team is always behind the eight ball and losing, and that is not being prepared and ready to come out and compete. That is John Fox.
That's a perfect illustration of this team not being ready, prepared, and able to engage.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. You're listening to 720 WGN. Get to the calls in 1 second here, 312-981-7200, and we may hear from John Fox as well. As far as the coach has gone, I think we summed it up pretty well in the break there. They have gone from complete disaster, a.k.a. Mark Trestman, to slightly above average. I mean, that's what John Fox is, right?
Well, it was respectable for a while to this last 3 weeks.
Let's get I think that basically sums up what's happened as far as that part of the problem, which, by the way, is an improvement. Yes, OB.
You know, there's always a Mueller in the house. You know, Mike Mueller, he sends a text. He agrees with everything we're saying. He said, but give Gase and the staff a chance to bring in the players to bring the team basically up to snuff. Mike, it ain't enough, pal. It ain't enough.
Yeah, Mike, we appreciate everything you do for the show, more importantly.
He has a point, but the point is, it's not about lack of talent when you keep creating these dumb penalties, not lining up. When you line up in the neutral zone on defense,
how is that possible?
That is just... That's
junior
just
high.
Ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. And so that's mental mistakes that have nothing to do with talent or lack of talent, and that's preparation. That is directly on these coaches.
Did you ever do that once in your career?
I never lined up off sides. I think maybe I jumped off once or so.
Well, right, but
12 years.
They're lining up. Jarvis Jenkins is lining up in the neutral zone. I've liked Jarvis Jenkins.
I don't get
that,
it.
How is that possible? By the way, Hampton will be this portion is sponsored by GinosEast.com, also sponsored by Parent Petroleum, 312-981-7200. Joe in Wilmette, you are on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Joe.
Gentlemen, first of all, this is so refreshing to have such wonderful radio, such candor, such honesty, such passion. You just can't find it anywhere else on the dial. You almost feel like you guys don't care if you lose your job, and that's the way it should be. first question I have is if you guys could fire somebody tomorrow, let them go, chop a head off, whose head gets chopped off tomorrow, which is my second kind of question, is where is the accountability here? I work in corporate America, and I can tell you we have meetings every day, every week, and the accountability is the name of the game. It seems like there's no accountability. So who do you fire if you could fire one person? And then the last question, if this were a publicly traded stock, are you buying, are you selling, or are you holding? Keep up the great work, guys. It's the best show on the air.
Thank you, Joe. Go ahead, guys. Dive into that one.
I'm holding if it's a stock. I'm not selling, and I'm not buying anymore. I'm going to hold. I would say coaching staff, Dan, I would go with special teams coach. I mean, he has done – he's had moments, but for the most part, they have set new bads in records for coverage teams this year. There's a guy that you could hold accountable from a coaching perspective.
You know, and again, it all starts at the top. You know, you're talking about these coordinators and position coaches. There has been marked improvement, but it's always with two steps forward, one step back. As far as players, you know, there's no question. Shane McClellan does not belong on the football field. You got to get rid of him. DeMontre Hurst, the defensive back that got some playing time today, goes in and hits the quarterback below the knees for no reason.
That was a gutless, coward tackle.
For no reason. You got to make a statement and say we will not tolerate that type of you know, conduct. We got to play the game hard, vicious, and physical, but we don't do cheap stuff like that. You know, as far as the offense, come on, let's be realistic. You know, and I've said this. Alshon Jeffrey is the best receiver we have. Are we going to have to deal with this if we re-sign him for the next 3, 4, 5 years where we have no idea if we could count on him not only game to game, but drive to drive or play to play? I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that a team does through the formation of the final roster that sends messages. And back to the Martellus Bennett thing, I think they're sending a message that we will not tolerate players that put themselves above the team. And I applaud that.
Well, and they should have cut him, though. I mean, you're paying him either way. Just cut him loose. And then that, to me, is even a louder message, Dan, because you're saying, look, you're a knucklehead, and we're not going to take your garbage anymore. Team is more important than you, Mr. Unicorn, that thinks you're all that, but you're really not. You got to, you know, it would have been better taking it one step further and just launching him. But,
Joe,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Joe, I would keep everybody here, but I would have a come to Jesus meeting. Believe me, I would if I'm Pace and I'm George McCaskey. I'd bring him in here, and it should have started today. Okay, we know what we can do offensively. We know that we get in the fourth quarter, we just might have a chance. It's not working, okay? You're going into next year, 2016. And guess what, Joe? We don't hit till basically the first exhibition game of next year. I think they should be making some critical changes right now. Timu should be start the last two games and sit McClellan. Let's see what the kid can do. And defensively, third down, they brought it today. Let's get more aggressive. And the other thing I don't understand, which I've been saying week after week after week, this is a passing league. It's a passing league. We don't attack. We don't go downfield. And it's mind-boggling to me. Watch New England. Watch Green Bay. Watch the highlights week after week. When you see people, what are they doing? They're attacking downfield. Look at our highlights. We're attacking backwards.
The only thing that I would disagree with Joe's call is that I actually do care if I keep my job. I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to keep my job. Thank you very much.
Questionable.
312-981.
Yes. If you survive.
Yeah, we'll see if you get
just
to keep
kidding.
Your job.
Mark, you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, OB. I appreciate that.
As long as you get the water here on time, you're okay, right, Ed?
I'm doing the best I can. I just hooked OB up. I got him a full cup.
I get it. And you even told him that there was an important message he had to get to.
Yes, he's got some family things he's dealing with here, which I'm sure is just fine, but a little bit distracted, which is okay, because he's got, listen, we want OB comfortable in the show. George, Southside, thank you. 720 WGN, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on, George. Go ahead.
What I'm about to say is more of an observation than a comment. I watched the game today, and it looks like the Bears may need a new type of secondary, because from what I saw, when Minnesota players are dragging your secondary to get first downs,
right,
and they're dragging your secondary into the end zone.
I had a really game.
I mean, it just seems to me that these guys either have no aggressiveness or no strength.
Good observation, George.
So what can you do to rectify that situation?
Well, you got to learn. You know, they don't tackle very well, George, and I don't know where that, how that has happened, but Ed, Hamp, you and I, we talk about it week in and week out. They stand tall. They don't sink their backside.
They don't
drive
through the ball carrier.
Right.
And that's what you got to do. Wrap your arms and drive through them. Keep your legs going. It's not a mystery.
You could cut Alan Ball, too. I don't think that would bother anyone. I mean, he's
Alan
done
Ball
nothing.
Has been an abysmal failure. And, you know, that's $3 million. There you go.
They blew that one. This year's most inspirational stories look back as WGN-TV remembers Victoria's big and small, Chicago's Mary Own, a WGN-TV news special tonight at 4:30.
Boy, you read that really well. Tonight at 4:30? That's like in a, that's like
12 minutes
from now.
Yeah.
Mark.
Well, this
not
is,
tonight.
This is
just say 12 minutes from now.
When you get live copy, what you do, Kaz, is you actually read it. You don't make it up.
Well, you could, so you don't embarrass yourself.
I don't think I embarrassed myself.
I think
at all.
You did, but whatever. Tomato.
I appreciate your feedback. 312-981-7200. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz.
You know,
yes,
before
OB.
We go, and I'm a proponent in going after people. I mean, you got to do it. And again, and I might be talking in circles in here, but folks, this game today, we got killed. But you want to know what? Just look at the field position in the beginning of this game. We start on the 50-yard line. The 47-yard line, the 48-yard line, the 43-yard line. You know, we get nothing.
The first play, Hronis Grassou, the center, the rookie, gets a holding call.
Blatant holding for no reason.
And brings back a, 30-yard gain?
It had nothing to do with the play, too. That's what was so frustrating
about
the
hold.
But the
point, gentlemen,
hold.
The point that I'm making is, listen, we're looking for excuses. To hell with the excuses. You had everything right in front of you. 50, 47, 48, 43. You had great field position the whole game. And what do? You stink it up. Why? Because we don't attack. We don't take advantage of what the rules give you and what the game is giving you. And we just don't. And I'll argue with anybody on this planet about that.
312-981-7200. We will hear from the head coach, John Fox, if they allow me to.
Yeah, next, right now.
Coming up next.
In the spring.
720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
On 720 WGN.
Bears with two games to go. That's right. We are down to 5-9.
Down to Lovey and the Detroit Lions.
I mean, if you could only win one, I would assume it would be this next coming week, right?
No. How bad is that game on January the 2nd?
Oh, it's
the
bad.
The Lions and the Bears slugging it out.
The third.
Whatever it is. Second, third, whatever it will be. That is just too – it's going to be like a little – pillow fight.
Just know
neither team wants to be there, and it'll be interesting to see who shows up and actually plays hard.
I just want you guys to know I love you so much that I'm leaving my family vacation to come back and be here for that January 3rd extravaganza with the Lions.
Mark.
That's called commitment. I know, Obi.
No. That brings tears to my eyes. Believe me, it really does. I'm so impressed by what you just said. It's overwhelming.
Wow. We're on another level now, Obi. This is we're bonding like I never thought we would in this first year together. All right, the locker room interview is
really?
we're gonna
now go get him a drink of water and hurry up about it.
He's all set. He's ready to go. Me and Obi are on another level. You guys can do whatever you guys do, but Obi and I, we're seeing eye to eye. The locker room interviews are sponsored by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business. Here's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, John Fox.
Really, only one injury to talk about was Alshon Jeffrey did leave with a hamstring, but he did return. We'll keep you updated on that as we move forward. Any questions?
John, how did you feel like his absence for the extended period of time affected what you were able to do offensively?
Yeah, I think it definitely has an effect. You know, he's kind of our number one receiver, and you know, he's missed some time this season, and we've had to adjust. And you know, I think some guys stepped in and did a decent job, just not good enough.
Joe, why didn't you call any timeouts at the end of the first half?
Good question.
I don't really recall the end of the first half, really off the top of my head. I know we used our full complement at the end of the game. We thought about it, but you know, I think they ended up scoring a touchdown. If we had kind of maybe shown a little bit of resistance there and got them into field goal range, we might have done that. I think we ended up with 30 seconds or so to finish out the half. I didn't think it was a huge factor in the game, honestly.
Can't remember it, then remembered it.
Things that have happened this month that you think have changed since you guys really played so well in Green Bay and has not been the same team since?
Good question, David.
Yeah, I think we just haven't improved. You know, I think we've had some injuries. Today's game was a little unusual in that we fell behind, had to throw it maybe a little bit more than we had in prior games to stay in the game. I think we gave up probably more sacks today than we had. I think we probably threw it more than we've have up until now. So the kind of the way the game went, we were -2 in a turnover ratio. We weren't very good in red area defense. Our third down defense continues to struggle as it has all year long. I think matchup situations hurt us, but we're going to keep marching forward and find guys that we think can be part of our core moving forward.
I can't win with this group. They're terrible.
Forte and Langford, that neither doesn't allow either one of them to get going in a rhythm.
I don't think that's a huge issue. I think that'd be way down the list.
John, some of the guys are saying in there they need their head right. What do you think their mentality is right now with these three losses?
When you lost three in a row, we haven't done that all season long. I think it does a little bit to thwart your confidence. We're all professionals, and I'm sure we'll get this out of our system and get ready for Tampa Bay when we form back up tomorrow.
All right, that'll do it for John Fox.
Number one, he actually has. Does he not? Does he think everybody just loses their memory? This game, we got behind early. It's been a while. How about the last 3 weeks? You've been behind every game. Last 3 weeks. I don't. What's wrong with this guy?
I thought it was interesting. They said we just haven't gotten better, and he started torching the team. Really, that's way down the list. I'm not saying he's wrong either, but that's the first time he's kind of really, at least in my mind, come out and just kind of laid it out that, man, we're not getting any better and we're not very good.
Hey, it's right in front of them, guys, in this room here and to our listeners. We're not playing big boy football, okay? We're just not. My Lord. We don't attack anybody. We just hope and pray that some play kind of works, that we get close, maybe Robbie Gould kick a field goal. I don't get this. That's enough of this stuff here. You play the game to win the world championship, to win the Super Bowl. You don't play the game to go 9-7, 8-8. Two words, Super Bowl. That's why you play this game, and that's why you coach in this league, and that's what it should be all about.
You know, I made this comment in the what do you call it, where we watch it in the conference room?
Boardroom, Dan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was bored watching this. Look, I just got to tell you, You know, I'm looking for a mentality that we don't seem to have. I brought it up that you can tell within the first 5 minutes of a game to see how a defense is striking people, tackling, how they're engaging into blocks. And the other part is on offense. If your offensive line is doing what they should be doing and controlling the line of scrimmage, then things function on schedule and properly. And the last 3 weeks, we opened up and we basically said, we're not doing this. Do what you want. And that's exactly what has led us to this point where we're 0-3. I want to see mentality of players that want to wreck the Vikings season. And then next week, go down to Tampa and wreck the Tampa Bay season. And you keep doing this until you become a team that now is in the playoff hunt.
Talk to Adam Hoge, who is up in Minnesota covering the game for us next, as we always do at 4:30 on Hamp and OB with Kaz. Trust is everything. It's golden. Yes, OB.
I just want to jump in what Dan just said.
Okay.
He hit it on the head. You got to strive to be better from week to week. You got to be more creative, and you got to give more each week. That's what it's all about.
Build a crescendo.
Absolutely.
And we're backing up. We got to reverse.
So, Dan, you nail it. And what's going on here? We see what happened last week, the week before last, and we saw it today. My God. That's not how you get to the Super Bowl, folks.
Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 37 years. Nationwide is on your side. jeffvuk.com. Into the newsroom next, and then Adam Hoge up at the East in Minneapolis. And, yes, we'll
hang
get to
in
the
there, callers.
We'll get to the callers.
I guarantee we'll get to you.
720 WGN.
Here's Forte. Now, this is just strange. They had all their timeout, chose not to use when Minnesota had the ball, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's put them in a tough position now because they had those three timeouts. Had you used them, you may be getting the ball back.
That's
with
not
45 to a minute left, and instead, really, they could push to try to get a field goal, but tough sledding.
Yeah, that's not the first time they did that indeed, OB. The injury report brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group and the New South Loop. Get to that in a second. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy. DriveChicago.com as the Bears go down in, let's call it, convincing fashion, get walloped by the Minnesota Vikings 38-17. Let's go up to TCF Bank Stadium, his final visit there, now about to make his way over to U.S. Bank Stadium, where Adam Hoge got a tour of the new Viking Stadium earlier today. Get to that in a second. But, Adam, let's start injury report-wise. What do you know about Alshon Jeffrey?
Well, I think pretty much what we've known all season, that he's a little bit injury-prone, maybe a lot bit injury-prone. He's had a calf, he's had a hamstring kind of nagging at him all season. I think this just falls right back into that. He did come back into the game, but they did hold him out late, so we'll see. This is probably going to be another week where he doesn't practice or practices a little bit, and we'll see. At this point, it doesn't really matter if you play him, I guess.
Well, it was a soft, and I emphasize soft, tissue.
He's a human tissue
injury.
Issue.
Yes.
Hey, you know, I don't suspect that there would be any reason to expect pull muscles in the heat of Tampa next week. Do you, Adam?
You know what, though? I mean, you saw it today. I mean, he's not out there. This is a tough situation for the Bears because, no, you cannot pay a guy a ton of money if he can't stay on the field. But you guys see this offense without him. And, yeah, you're going to have Kevin White next year, but you still need somebody opposite him. So, I mean, I think the answer is probably a franchise tag, but you're probably admittedly going to be overpaying for him a lot for 1 year considering he can't stay on the field. But, I mean, you can't give this guy a ton of money over a ton of years at this point.
Yeah, I think you let him go and you try to go into the free agent market. I look, as good as he is when he is out on the field, he just doesn't play enough to really lock him up for a long-term contract, and that's a shame because I think this is part of why maybe he hasn't been on the field either, is that he's kind of protecting himself as he comes into this contract year. But only he knows that, so I'm not going to – that's not fair. So I take that one back, but it kind of appears that way. But, Adam, John Fox today in the post game actually said that, well, this was unique. We got behind early, so the game changed for us. Has he been sleeping the last 3 weeks? How do you say something that dumb?
He's been online shopping.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. They've been behind pretty much the whole season. Their first quarter, I don't have the specific number in front of me, but it's something like they've been outscored like 91-46 or something this year in the first quarter.
Well, first quarter, they had a total of 10 yards and 6 plays.
Yeah, and the Vikings had 10 points at that point. So 10 points, 10 yards. It's a tie game, right?
Yeah, it's scary.
I don't know where, you know what? I learned a few months ago, guys, though, not to get too worked up about things that John Fox says, because it's usually not going to, it's not good for your health, basically.
Some more stats, by the way, about that first quarter. They were outgained 134-10. The Vikings had 8 first downs. The Bears had none, just so we're all clear about how bad that first quarter was. How do you, Adam, the feeling in the locker room 3 weeks into this losing streak, and going back to coming out of Green Bay, and we were talking about Martellus Bennett and his whole role in it, not going up to Green Bay, not watching the game. Where do you think the wheels fell off, and has it been a different atmosphere in there?
Yeah, let me take you inside of the locker room, because I don't know if you guys have had a chance to play this yet, but play Pernell McPhee. McPhee was very – his comments were very noticeable in the locker room today. I don't know how familiar you guys are with what Jimmy Butler did last night after the Bulls game, but that's how a leader should not call out people in the locker room. What Pernell McPhee did today was how a leader should do it. He challenged his teammates. He questioned the effort, but he did not name anybody specifically. He didn't throw anyone under the bus, and he took responsibility for it himself, too. But I found some very noticeable things in some of the stuff he said. Especially, guys, the practice habits. He was asked about why things are different since Green Bay 4 weeks ago, and he said that he thinks that a lot of his missed tackling problems is starting in practice. Yes, you cannot hit guys in practice. You can't tackle Foley all the way to the ground. But mentally, you can do that. I mean, you can go through a guy and at least in your head, mentally, be wrapping guys up and finishing the tackle, even though you can't actually physically take them to the ground. And he doesn't think that effort has been there in practice. He thinks that's where that has started. So I found that very interesting. He also said he doesn't think it's emphasized enough.
Let's play the quote, because you have it. So let's play.
Here's the bad tackling part of the conversation.
Habits in practice. When you be in practice and you don't finish a play wrapping a guy up, And you don't do it in practice, I mean, of course, when you get on the field, you ain't going to do it. And I think we got to start practicing good habits. And we start practicing wrapping up tackles and driving our legs and taking the guy down, that's when we'll start showing it on the field.
Okay, by the way, before we even heard this, at the beginning of the show, I said that one of the greatest indicators of a team's preparedness or level of preparedness was the way they tackle. And it's been horrific the last 3 weeks. And, you know, I'm glad that he says something about it instead of the coach, right? We don't want John Fox to get sidetracked from his Christmas decorations that he's going to do when he gets home.
You're right, Dan. I'm going to tell you what, Adam. If, in fact, what we're saying and what Pernell McPhee is saying is true, and that's after 14 games, and that's a big point with him, one of the issues defensively. Well, we got more of a major problem than you think. And I'll say that again. We've got more of a major problem than you think. 14th game into the season, and we can't tackle? Being called out by another teammate? Not good, guys.
Well, here's the bigger thing, and I think, Adam, you remember this too. When Seattle made their run the last couple of years, and, you know, last year they should have won the Super Bowl, but didn't on a bad call, bad play. But reality of it is that if you remember, the NFL had come out saying you can't hit, you can only tackle so much. And there were rumors that the Seahawks went at it all the time, and not one player would say a word about it because, quite frankly, they knew to get to the Super Bowl, you had to work this way. And it continues to be that way. And it's interesting that, you know, you have this locker room right now where a guy, hey, look, this kid was brought in from Baltimore because he understands how to play defense at that next level like we talked about. And he's right. Unless you're going to be willing to wrap up and look, here's the thing about tackling. If you drop your hips, if you get in a good position and you wrap a guy up, you call it thud, you wrap him up, you don't drop him to the ground, but you jolt him backwards, then that's a good position to tackle. And we clearly aren't doing that.
Yeah, and Kaz, I'm glad you brought up Baltimore too, because Pernell McPhee has never been on a losing team before, and this is going to be a losing team. They guaranteed that. By losing today, they're going to have a losing record for the second straight season, and first for McPhee since he's just joining this year. So he does know what it's like to be on a good defense. And obviously Baltimore's gone off the rails a little bit this year, but maybe that's why, partly because they lost McPhee, among others. So, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about. He has experience. And he said that he's not being emphasized enough. And so, you know, maybe that's our first hint of a player questioning the coaching staff a little bit. I don't think it's a huge deal. I think it's a fair point. And remember, these guys went live in training camp at times. John Fox let these guys hit, but you can't do that once the regular season starts. So maybe, you know, I think it's a combination of mostly not having talent across the board, especially on that side of the ball, but it maybe just getting farther and farther away from when they did go live in training camp. It's just you got to get it back on the field somehow in the last 2 weeks.
Listen, I understand all this defensively, okay, and where we need help, and boy, there's some very, very important positions where we're just god awful at. But I'm going to go back, gentlemen. I'm going to go back to the offense. We win games 19 to 20, 17 to 19. That's the way it's been all year. You are going nowhere in this league. Nowhere. We have got to get that ball down the field. You know, I keep saying this and saying this, but it just happens to be true. What, you're going to have a defense try to hold everybody under 20 points in the National Football League? It's not going to happen. Is it a problem with defense? Yes. The big problem is offense and our theory of how to attack an opponent for 16 games. That's our problem, folks.
Adam, great work. We'll read you at WGNradio.com. If you're not reading Adam Hoge's Bears blog, you're not living your life correctly. He has a phenomenal piece out about the movie Concussion as well, so you can check that out amongst everything else. Adam, great job today, man.
No problem, guys. And my story up on everything Pernell McPhee said is already up at WGNRadio.com/Bears. So you can go get that right now.
Hey, Adam, I'm going to take exception with what you started about Jimmy Butler last night. Jimmy Butler's comments were basically, after they got embarrassed on the road, was the coach is not demanding enough accountability from the players. Now, when the player says that, I applaud. Now, if you're 22-1, like the Golden State Warriors, that's one thing. But when you're like the Bulls and you're scrapping around, you lose at home, and the players, I don't want to say revolting, but they're saying it ain't good enough. What you're doing, we need you to hold everyone more accountable. And you said you didn't agree with that. We need to talk about that someday.
I'll set that meeting up for you guys. And is this heaven? Are we talking Bulls basketball out of nowhere? I mean, I can't even believe it. This is phenomenal.
Adam, have a great holiday.
We spend the whole world of sports here, pal.
Those are my guys over there, and I loved what Butler said too. Ham, thank you for bringing.
Yeah,
that
I
up.
Have no issue with the year because he didn't call out individual players. He just said, "Hey, coach."
No, they got a coaching
issue. Push us a little bit.
Right now.
Make us play harder.
Quick timeout. We'll get back to you. 312-981-7200. Might hear from the quarterback of the Chicago Bears as well, Jay Cutler. Blackhawk hockey coming up at 5:30 as well, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
38-17, the Minnesota Vikings beat the Chicago Bears, who have now lost 3 in a row, 5-9. OB.
All I want to do is jump in and say,
yeah,
Chicago, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
I'll give you all, Chicago voted in, made it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Pete Chivarelli, the general manager, the manager they've ever had. So, Pete, you and the group Chicago, congratulations. Long overdue, buddy.
See, why do you got to ruin the show? Because we had something planned for you. We didn't think
I got something planned for you, too. You know what I told you, about 3 weeks ago what I was going to do to you? It's getting closer. See that window behind you?
Wait, hold on a second.
And don't be stuttering. I don't stutter.
Never?
He gives it to you straight.
Okay, we had this for you, Obi, just so you know, because we wanted to take care of you and show you love.
The group Chicago is up, and they've been up many times, and they are not in the Hall of Fame of rock and roll, which to me is a disgrace. So they're up now this year, so let's hope here in the next month or two that they get voted in.
Out of nowhere, you're going Chicago band is your last thought of the day?
That's my last thought of the day. Don't say anything more. I'll pop you right in your nose.
I love it.
So let me.
And I couldn't agree more.
Can't get a 25.624 out of you?
I'm going to give you a 92.91 WAPO. Right across the schnozzle in about a minute.
We had that. It was
great. It sounded good.
We had that all specially planned. We're gonna wrap up the show with that and tell you that Chicago
you
made
were
the Hall of
not.
Fame.
Don't give
he
me that.
He was working on it, Ed. Mark started working on it. He got this little misty little mist in his eyes.
Well, as usual, Mark, you were too late with it.
Yeah,
okay,
a little too late.
But anyways, Pete Chivarelli, Chicago. That's just great news. God bless. Wonderful.
Pete, we love you, but you shouldn't have told Ed that you got in because we had it all.
Said a word.
Who told you?
News.
Oh.
There's a thing in this country called news. There's like 5 o'clock news,
all right,
6
fine,
o'clock
fine,
news,
fine,
and they
fine,
have the reports.
Fine, fine. I didn't want to say you were on top of the news like that, Opie. That's impressive. How about this? Can you do this for us? The drive of the game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Can you do
drive,
that, too?
The drive of the game. It's the drive.
The team hotel to the stadium.
The drive of the game is when the Bears were introduced coming out of the tunnel. That's it. That's the drive of the game.
Amazing drive.
I thought it was going to be from the hotel and the bus to the stadium.
Oh, that's one better yet. No, but the drive of the game is when they got introduced running out of tunnel.
Drive from the stadium to the airport on their way home. All right, craving Geno's East legendary pizza. That was your drive of the game. Deep dish pizza, handmade with their famous buttery flaky crust, loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with a flavorful sauce. Bring the family to Geno's East, 10 locations in Chicagoland. They're closer than you think. Try the favorites like the Meaty Legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. If you can't make it to them, Geno's East will come to you. Order pizza delivery to your home or ship this iconic Windy City Legend nationwide. For delivery zones and info, visit genoseast.com. News, and we'll get Cuddy in the final 30 minutes, and you, 312-981-7200. Bears get walloped by the Vikings, 720 WGN.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hampton. Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chevy Hemp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Final half hour, Hemp and OB with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Carman. 312-981-7200. Bears lose to the Vikings 38-17 as Minnesota sweeps the season series. Start of the 5 o'clock hour. Sponsored by GenosEast.com and sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Gentlemen, we are going to hear from the quarterback of your Chicago Bears right now, Jay Cutler. Will react to that coming back. Here is Jay a little bit earlier out at TCF Bank Stadium.
Well, same stuff. It's kind of hurt us for most part of the year. We opened the game with a holding call off a big run. I threw an interception. We had a strip sack. That protection was a little shaky today. Some more penalties. I mean, much the same. It doesn't matter who we played today. We weren't going to win playing that kind of offensive football.
You said protection shaky. What were they doing? I know they ran a couple stunts.
We'll take a look at it. You know, it's not all on those guys. I've got to get rid of the ball. So it's a group effort out there. I mean, it's not all on the offensive line. I thought they fought hard throughout the game. There's just stuff we got to clean up.
Did you feel any real momentum, especially the first part of the first half and the second half when Preston got you the ball? And
yeah.
If you did, how did this?
Great point. I mean, we got the surprise onside kick there at halftime, and, we squandered that one. We drive down there. We put a score up. We're right back in the ball game, so it's unfortunate.
How were they covering Alshon when he was in?
They had some guys banged up, but they still played sound defense. I talked about it during the week. They're going to be sound in what they do. Showed us some different coverages, nothing we weren't prepared for.
So how much does the inability to protect the struggle protection affect how much you're pushing the ball downfield?
Yeah,
you're not taking a lot of shots downfield.
No, I mean, we just didn't feel like we had some time today to do it, so... we want to get rid of the ball quick. We want to be able to try to run the ball efficiently. And then, once you start taking a few hits, talking with Adam, we, decided the best interest is just try to get rid of the ball. Maybe get some catch and runs.
Is it deflating when 17 is out?
It's not inflating. we've had him in and out kind of all year long, so it's. I don't want to say it's anything new to us, but the guys are prepared for it, and the receivers on the outside, they know their roles whenever he goes down, and I thought they came in and fought hard.
Through the early part of the season, guys talk about an identity, fighters, finishers. Mm-hmm. What's the identity of this team now?
We're going to find out. Where we're at, two games left, we'll find out who in that locker room has some character and wants to finish and who doesn't.
Kyle's been hard on himself a couple times in mm-hmm. games this year. What was he like after the strip sack?
He was good. I mean, he like you said, he's going to be hard on himself. I think he's done a better job of moving on to the next play, not dwelling on things, and realizing that there's a lot of football left, and he can still positively impact the game. So I think he's grown in that regard. He's probably going to be hard on himself after watching this film, but he keeps getting better and better as a player. He's going to be fine.
Jay, when you feel like you practiced well and played well, prepared well for giving you 12 play, are you at a loss to figure out why it went wrong, and does that make it that much tougher to fix?
I'm pretty confident of why it went wrong. I mean, like I said, the penalties, sacks, interception, those things, like I said, it doesn't matter who you're going to play. You do those things consistently throughout a game, and it's going to make it really hard on yourself.
Jay, Thanksgiving night, you guys get the big win, and it seems like you're right in the middle of things. I mean, what's just kind of the mentality now after these last 3 weeks as it's kind of slipped away?
It's tough. I mean, I know the locker room's down, but like Coach Fox said, and I'll say right now, you will find out what we have in the locker room of who's going to fight and who's going to try to finish this out the right way the next two games.
Couple more? Anything else?
No more. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
No more, indeed. So there you go, Jay Cutler.
Pretty good interview.
It really was.
Yes.
So he's not saying that.
Jay.
He's not saying that I know we're going to step up and fight, right? He's saying, well, we'll find out who will do it. I think there's something there, right?
That's a hell of a statement.
Isn't it?
All right, guys, let me just tell you something. Kaz and I knew this guy really well. His name was Bill McGrain. He was an executive with the Bears, came from Minnesota, of all places, with Jim Finks back in 1975. He passed away this week, and his service was yesterday. And his daughter got up and read something that I think is almost so apropos, it's frightening. But she was talking about, she went to this play, and it was about Alexander Hamilton. And that the thing that came out of it was, when your time is done, it's all about who lives, who dies, and who tells the story. Well, every season is a life unto itself. And I've got to tell you guys, when this story about this season is to be told, I think it's number one, we don't have enough good players. We've got four quality guys on offense, maybe four or five, maybe six five or six on offense, maybe four on defense. We got to draft better. We had two first-round draft picks by the Bears start today. Neither one played winning football. Number two, the coaches. They've hit a wall. For whatever reason, they have not had their best preparation
and motivation. That's the amazing thing, Dan.
But wait a minute. Their game time adjustments are almost non-existent. And third, we do not have a mentality of a winning football team. Yeah, we may not be talented, but you know what? I want a team that'll knock the hell out of you all game, not once in a while. We don't tackle well. We don't tackle violent. We don't block very well. We look like we've packed our bags up. So when the season story is to be told these last 3 weeks, it's not very pretty.
We got to take a quick time out, but I want to follow up a little bit more on Cutler coming back there, because he did call out his teammates there for just a little bit, which he hasn't done all season long.
That's the point I was making. That was a great interview by Cutler, as far as I'm concerned.
It was.
Very honest about everything.
It really was. For those who like to take it like a Bears fan, Chicago Tribune Sports Plus is for you. Get award-winning sports-only coverage, insights, and perks at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. You want to weigh in on Cutler, you're welcome to 312-981-7200.
You know what, like, when we analyze this game, folks, you know, everything's not roses and it's wonderful and it's this and it's that. When the coaches do a great job, we point it out and we congratulate them why they did a great job. When the players, as a defensive unit and offense unit, when they do well, we point that out. Individually, we point that out. But I will be a long, long day before I sit there and watch a game and see guys making $12 million, $8 million, $120 million, whatever, not putting out and not playing football the way they're supposed to. They're going to hear about it. Period.
When we come back, I want you, because you've been screaming all season long about going down the field. Cuddy said,
"Damn right I have."
Well, and he said something about that in that interview that I want to follow up on. So we'll do that next. 720 WGN.
We're gonna find out. You know where we're at. Two games left. We'll find out who in that locker room has some character and wants to finish, and who doesn't.
That was Jay Cutler. OB, we got a little Chicago rocket for you. Just feel the Hall of Fame emotion.
Very, very unique sound, guys.
I mean, I right there for you.
They're just great. I can listen to them all day long.
I love it, Ed. You know, it's rare that you see Ed truly have a smile on his face. That puts a true smile on your face, doesn't it?
What do you mean by that?
You know, I mean, normally when we're talking football in here, we're all a little intense, because especially the last 3 weeks, but that was a genuine smile.
So let's follow up on that. He's saying that...
You're talking about Cutler.
Yeah.
Not on Chicago.
He's saying that because of the pressure that he's under and because of the way they're executing, that instead of going down the field, they're just trying to get rid of it as quick as they can, which is exactly what you don't want, OB.
That's it. Yes.
Well, there are ways, though, and Ed's right. There are ways to cross, correct, Ed? I mean, like you've talked about it. You have the two inside slot receivers. Yep. They cross at 6 and 7 yards, and one of them's always open.
When
is
the last time you saw crossing ends?
We don't do it.
We have never done it. Let me tell you something. Go up to Green Bay. Jordy Nelson, who I think is the best receiver in football, lost for the year. You think they folded the tent up in Green Bay? They didn't fold a tent. They didn't play scared-to-death football. They went after people. And I don't know why we...
Let's listen for just one more time, Jay Cutler.
No, I mean, we still feel like we had some time today to do it. So we want to get rid of the ball quick. We want to be able to try to run the ball efficiently. And then, you know, once you start taking a few hits, you know, talking with Adam, we, you know, decided the best interest is just try to get rid of the ball. Maybe we get some catch and runs.
So he doesn't want to get his quarterback killed.
Mark, here's the problem. They know, like, the opponents don't know that they're not going to go downfield. So what do? They come up and they play him tighter. They smother them.
And they load the box and they come after
Absolutely,
Cutler.
Glenn. That's why. The only way you can do it is move that ball down the field.
I thought it was interesting, too, that he said when asked about Alshon Jeffrey, is it deflating not having him out there? He could have jumped in real easy. Yes, it is. But he was like, well, it's not inflating. Guys are used to it. He basically called out Alshon, too. We're just used to the fact that this guy's not going to be there.
In other words, he said, what's his name? His name again?
Noshon.
In other words, we haven't seen him.
Right.
Right. And then what's the identity of this team? They were building that, but he said, well, we'll find out. Right? They were on their way to having something, I guess is my point.
After that Thanksgiving victory, Mark, you're 100% correct, and it went off the rails. They lost to San Francisco, a team that hasn't, I might point out, hasn't won since they beat the Chicago Bears.
They're getting killed by Cincinnati.
jump off the rails. And since that moment, Ed, it's been nothing but downhill for the Bears.
That's the story that's being told.
312-981-7200. If you want to slip in one real quick call, we might be able to get to that. But I guess, actually, we got to do the next game preview, which is sponsored by Arlington Heights for number one in what matters most. And that, of course, would be you. Now, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if Seattle beats the Browns, what I'm trying to say, then that means that Seattle is in and the Bucs are officially eliminated. So it's 20-10 right now, late in the third quarter. So next week's game...
27-10 now.
27-10, thank you. Next week's game with Tampa is two teams that are officially out of the playoffs. How do you size up a Bears-Bucs battle in Tampa? Kaz.
Oh, so I would say that... I mean, look, it's just going to be bad football. Hopefully... the Bears will truly try to tinker with the lineup on the defensive side, play some of these young guys. And, you know, I'm not opposed to your idea of putting Willie Young at middle backer. I mean, what do you got to lose? Let's just see what you got, see what they can do.
If anybody's got some talent to make a move and do that, it would be him. I know it's kind of late in the season, but I'm going to tell you what. You know, times are running out. See what you got. I mean, we know what he can do. At an outside linebacker at a defensive end position, we know he can rush the passer and be very proficient about it. What we do know is we have nobody in the inside that can play football in the National Football League. I'm just saying, try. Take a look at it and see. And again here, two games, folks. And if I see that they mailed it in next week, then all bets are off. Let me say it again. If I see that they mailed it in, all bets are off.
I don't know how many players are still here from the Lovie Smith era, but you better believe that Lovie Smith would like to shove it, you know where, to the McCaskies. He was a 10-6 head coach when he was let go, and he forever and a day is going to think, I owe somebody for that, to be, you know, fired after a 10-6 season. Well, all I'm saying is, if they mail it in, it's going to get ugly early. But let me just tell you this. This league is all about imitation. What's hot this week? Well, you know and I know, Jameis Winston, the first overall pick that starts at quarterback, is going to be trying to do a Cam Newton impersonation. And we better be ready on defense for the read option, for all the different aspects that Cam is basically showing around the league. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to build for next year. We better be ready. All I know is I will be looking for someone to put the sound down, the girl from Ibanema, when they show Lovie on the sideline with his headphones on. You know it, and I know it.
We'll be back here next week, 3 o'clock, 3 till 5:30, as Blackhawks hockey again next Sunday, and it's coming up today. The Sharks and the Blackhawks over at the United Center. Pregame starting in about 5 minutes right here on 720 WGN. Gentlemen, have a lovely holiday. OB, thank you so much for the Christmas gifts. That was incredibly...
Merry Christmas to all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, everybody. And thank you all for listening.
And you know what you should do with your Christmas if you haven't gotten a gift? You should get some Marconi Giardiniera and put it on everything. You know why? Because there's nothing better on eggs, pizza, subs, sausages, you name it. Marconi Giardiniera is on it. One of Chicago's favorites is now, one of Chicago's favorites traditions is now my tradition. With over 100 years of experience, Marconi should be the only Giardiniera in your kitchen. Marconi has over 114 years of experience serving up the highest quality Marconi Giardiniera, available wherever finer foods are sold or online at marconi-foods.com. Head it all over my Geno's East Pizza today. Quick timeout. Get you ready for Blackhawks hockey next, 720 WGN.